Because of that day, we are experiencing happy days. Happy days, like the old show on TV. And praise the Lord this morning that the Lord is our Savior. And if you do not know Him personally, you do not know if you were to die today, heaven to be your home, I ask that you would cry out to Him and ask Him to save you. And He will. There are several people here to help. Help guide you along the way of doing that. And so good to be here this morning. So good to see each and every one of you. And welcome to Calvary Baptist Church here in Powder Springs. And we got some that's here that have been out for a while. And it's good to see the Palmers with us this morning. And of course, they've been battling things and physically and in all other kind of areas, but so good to have you guys with us, and Brother Leonard and his eyesight. We hope and pray that all that's working out pretty good. And but what a blessing to have them here. It's good to have Miss Cassie here as well. She's back with us pretty regular, but this is something special I want to mention about Miss Cassie. That Miss Cassie just graduated college with her CNA degree, her nurse assistant degree. And so let's give a round of applause for Miss Cassie. George. And What a blessing. What a blessing. I was talking with Miss Cassie for a few moments back before we came out here in the sanctuary. And I said, I understand about the schooling part and about how it literally fatigues the body, hours and hours of school. But it's so worth it. So worth it. We appreciate her sharing that good news with us this morning. And let's just remember some folks in prayer, and then we're going to pray, and then we will toss things back to Brother Allen this morning. Brother Allen had mentioned that he has a co-worker that actually lost a child and husband in the same week. Last week, was it? Due to COVID? Both of them due to COVID, and both on a ventilator at the same time. And so let's remember this family, co-worker, Brother Allen. Let's continue to remember Miss Ashton Maddox as she recovers. She was in the hospital last Sunday, I believe, for a little while, or Saturday, one of those two. And she has pleurisy and lung inflammation. But she's better. And so she's getting better, but let's remember her. Randy and Diane Ely. Talked with them this past week. I don't know if I mentioned this last week or not. I believe I mentioned it Wednesday, but her brother went home to be with the Lord on the 11th. But let's remember them as they work their way through that and the funeral and all that kind of stuff. I believe I did mention that. Anyway. You stand up here and you got 900 things to remember. Every once in a while, you'll get to an intersection you can't cross. But I believe I mentioned it Wednesday night. And so just remember them. Good to see Brother Chuck, Miss Cece here. And Brother Chuck has fractured his shoulder. Is that right? In a sling this morning. But let's remember him as he recovers. Good to have them both here. Ruby Harper, her recovery. And good to see Miss Shirley, Brother James Townsend back with us. Always a blessing to have them with us regularly. All right. Remember a couple things upcoming. And Youth Sunday will be next Sunday, a.m. and p.m. both. Brother Brian will be preaching in the morning, Brother CJ in the evening service. And then on the 31st, we'll have our trunk or treat. Our Trunk or Treat outreach, community outreach. Just a good time, and it's an opportunity to decorate your trunk if you want to, and give out candy and all those things. Is there any special? Yeah, I'm just going to give it to you. Let me just give it to you. Well, thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that announcement. And so let's just remember all of these things this morning. And did you come to worship this morning? Say amen. 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 Father, we love you. We thank you. You're so gracious and so kind. You're the God of all grace. You're the God of all comfort, the God of hope. And we're thankful for that. This morning, Lord, I pray that you would move mightily in the service. Lord, use the music for your honor and your glory. When it comes preaching time, Lord, I pray that you would allow me, Lord, to be the vessel that you use to be a blessing to your people this morning. That's all we want to do. And let us be changed by the time that we leave. If there's someone here that doesn't know you, we pray that you'd save them. And if there's someone here that's following from afar that's already saved, I pray they would return to the cross. Father, we love you. We thank you. We just pray for all of these requests. We thank you for the praises. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen. Let me just share something with you this morning on a somewhat of a personal note, I suppose. But I remember all the years of being here, Brother Snyder, and he would always say, we especially want to always recognize our young folks when they make a great accomplishment. Those of us been here for a long time, remember him always saying that? Well, I want to read to you something this morning that brings a proud grandfather note this morning. It says, good afternoon. If you're receiving this email about your child, they have been chosen and accepted into the Reinhardt Honor Band. On October 22nd and 23rd, I just got the information a few moments ago, so you get to be the person to tell your child that they were accepted. It's always nice to be able to tell kids some good news. 12 students out of 250 were chosen for the Reinhardt Honor Band, and that will be on next weekend. And you should be very proud to know that the one that was chosen is our drummer, Mr. Jackson. And I am so proud of him. Words would never be able to express it. But what I think I'm most proud of is the fact that he chooses to use his talents in the house of God. Amen. And he walks with the Lord, and he is a tremendous, very strong, young Christian man. And I'm very proud of him, and I love him. Buddy, congratulations, man. If you'll stand with me, church, choir, we're here this morning, as Pastor said, to worship the Lord. He's worthy of our praise this morning. Amen? So forget about the world for a little while. Forget about what you're going through, what you've been through, and let's concentrate on the Lord and just worship Him this morning. Amen? Could you sing with me a chorus of that, what He's playing this morning? What a day that will be.
What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day.
Oh, you sound so good. Let's sing it again. Church, you can be seated. Choir, you can be seated as well. And please remember all the announcements this morning. And we're very excited about some things that are coming up with the church. With that said, I want to go ahead and get started making an announcement on New Year's. I know that seems like a long way off, but we're already talking about Christmas now. I don't know if you noticed that or not. We jump from, it seems like the 4th of July, and just jump everything and jump right into Christmas, doesn't it? But there's going to be a New Year's gospel singing. The reason that I mention it's in memorial of Brother Jimmy Pearson. If you've followed the diplomats at all over the past several weeks, months, you know that they're trying to put together a singing. Well, they have done that. It's going to be in Carrollton at Mount Holly Church. We have some of the brochures down here. But it's going to be a great singing. They're going to have Gold City, The Inspirations, Karen Peck and New River, the Lefevre Quartet. And I'm sure that the diplomats will probably be putting something together to sing that night as well. But please make plans to attend that. It'll be a great night in memorial for Brother Jimmy. He's singing in glory today. Amen. But this will be a great time. You're going to want to go ahead and make plans for that. Go ahead and get the brochure. Invite folks to come. That'll be a great night. And it is so good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. I'm just excited to be here. I don't know about you, but and maybe you haven't noticed. I don't know if it's because I had some great gravy biscuit this morning or what. But man, I'm just excited to be in the house of the Lord this morning. He is so worthy of our praise, Chuck, and our worship. And we are here today in the house of God. Please remember all the announcements, all the prayer requests. And let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Ask Him to be in the service. Pray for Pastor this morning. And pray for the offering this morning as well. Brother Selam, would you lead us as we pray?
Father, thank you for today. We thank you for the privilege it is to be in your house. Thank you for your spirit that lives in this place. We pray for our pastor that has to use him in a special way. Speak to our hearts today that we need you. Well, I pray you to be in your lives. Pray for those in our church that are struggling, whatever issue you might be. Just ask that you would be real to them. Father, let them be in your presence. Pray for Diane.
Appreciate the Lord this morning. Appreciate the Lord and appreciate His goodness. And we got a good crowd this morning. God is good. And so let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the Old Testament book, Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon. Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, then the book of Song of Solomon, also known as Song of Songs. I want to try to be a blessing and be a help this morning. I was talking with someone yesterday, in fact, I believe it was Brother Jim Jr., and talking about, you know, we actually listened to a little bit of Jim Daly's preaching in his car. We went somewhere together yesterday and started talking about sermon preparation, and it seems like every time I talk about it, God does something different. And so I'm just going to not talk about it next time. And we stayed up late, got up early, was really unsure of today's message. But I'm sure right now, I am sure. And Lord just sometimes makes you live by faith, even when you're standing to preach. Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon. I want to bow for a word of prayer, and then we will introduce the subject this morning. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you.
We need you,
Lord. Father, we need you more now than ever.
We're living
in dark times, troublesome times. And Lord, we know that you're able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works within us. Pray for the next few moments. You would help me, Lord, be your mouthpiece, and I will praise you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. The book of Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, all belong to Solomon. They are poetical in nature, much like the book of Psalms is poetical, that mostly belongs to David. And so they're poetical in nature. And we have Solomon, of course, being the writer of these books. And he was known as the wisest of all men. Solomon was. And so Solomon, he uses these books. He has these books laid out that's filled with wisdom and understanding. But here in this book, the Song of Solomon, we have a Shulamite woman. And she also is known as the bride. I encourage you to stay with me this morning. The Shulamite woman in this book is also known as the bride. And she is head over heels in love with Solomon. And Solomon loves her back. He loves this Shulamite woman. He loves his bride. Solomon is the bridegroom. And so we have a strong love relationship between these two. Most commentators believe, and so do I, that this gives a picture of God being, or Christ being, the bridegroom and the church being the bride. Solomon, the bridegroom, the church, or the Shulamite woman, the bride, the church. And so, if you're here in Song of Solomon, if you're in chapter number 3, if not, that's the chapter we're going to be in. In chapter number 3, we have a pursuit of this Shulamite woman, this bride, the church. And this Shulamite woman, she is pursuing the one that she loves, Solomon, Christ, the bridegroom. And she spends the majority, the greater part of this book, in pursuit of him. She is after him. She is longing to be with him. And he is always there loving her, always wanting to be with her. But nonetheless, it is a love pursuit. This Shulamite woman going after her Solomon. And so with that said, look in verse number 1, if you would, of chapter number 3. The Bible says, "By night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. I will rise now and go about the city in the streets and in the broadways. I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up nor awake my love till he please." And that's reading Song of Solomon chapter 3 verse 1 down through verse number 5. This morning I want to preach a few moments on this subject, the pursuit of God. The pursuit of God. Let me say first, before we have ever thought about pursuing God, God was pursuing us. He's the one that found us. And I want to say he's still pursuing us right this very hour on this Sunday morning here at Calvary Baptist Church. But because he originally pursued us and brought us to himself in salvation, we now are living out our days trying to apprehend that for which we have been apprehended of the Lord, as Paul says. And so we have this beautiful picture this morning of this love relationship between a lowly Shulamite woman and a wisest of all men, Solomon. Again, we have a picture of the bride, the church, and the bridegroom, Christ. And I want to say this morning that, and it's my intention to mention some things out of these verses that will help our spiritual walk as we pursue the Lord. And of course, again, you have to remember this is a very poetical book in nature. It gives a picture of something, and I believe this is the picture that it's giving. And so the pursuit of God this morning. A.W. Tozer is a familiar author to many, and he actually wrote a few books. He wrote at least two books. I have two of his books in my office. Number one, it's God's Pursuit of Man, and then it's The Pursuit of God. And I encourage you, he's an easy reader to follow, an easy read to follow. And if you want to read those books, or at least check them out, it'd be a good read for you. Just some things out of these verses when it comes to the Shulamite woman and Solomon. Number one, in verse number one, I want you to notice that we see an escape here. An escape. Verse number one, the Bible says, "By night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not." I want you to notice that it was the bridegroom who escaped. It was Solomon that escaped. I want you to notice something else in this verse. It was by night that he escaped. "By night on my bed I sought him, whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not." And so we have the great escape. We have a person that is missing in action in the life of someone who loves him the very most. And it was at nighttime. It wasn't during the day where she could see it happen and trace his steps, but it was at nighttime. So it was in the night he slipped out of the bed and he left. I want to say this morning that the bride panicked when this occurred. She loved him so very much and could not bear this idea of him being gone. Out at all times of the night. She just could not bear that thought, that idea. She panicked. She said, "By night on my bed I sought him, whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not." This morning, this can be symbolic to the Christian life. This can be symbolic to our night seasons that we all encounter in life. When we feel as though the Lord is not present with us, nor aware of our situation. Have you ever been there before, where you were in the night season and it seems like God was nowhere to be found? You could not trace his hand. You could not sense his presence. You would go to pray and it bounce off the roof. These are the night seasons of life. Hold your place here and turn over to the book of Job, chapter 23. Or you can follow along as we read. Job chapter number 23. Job also experienced, as you know, a night season. It says in Job chapter number 23 in verse 1, listen to this. "Then Job answered and said, even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him. I would fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me." Job is saying, "I have questions to ask God. He's nowhere to be found. I have questions to ask him." In verse number 6 it says, "Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him. So should I be delivered forever from my judge?" Verse 8, "Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work," where I'm very familiar, where I meet with God in the places that he works. He says, "I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I can't perceive him. On the left hand," verse 9, "where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. We'll stop there in Job. Job is saying this was my night season. He said I would look for God at the very familiar places where I always found him. It might have been a song that he listened to where God showed up in his situation. It might have been that secret place where he went to pray, where God usually manifests himself to Job and he felt his presence. But Job said, everywhere that I used to go to look for my God, he was not there. He was nowhere to be found. This is a night season in my life. Anybody going through a night season? Anybody going through a time where you don't feel God's presence? You go to access his power and it's not there? Anybody going through a dark time, some kind of dilemma in your life, a situation that's beyond you, a trial by fire? Anybody this morning? That's the case of this bride back in Song of Solomon. This bride, she woke up and he was gone. And it wasn't during the day, but it was at nighttime. It was at nighttime. Listen to what David says in Psalm 16 and verse number 7. He says, I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. David says, I'm familiar as well of these night seasons. Job said, I'm familiar with these night seasons. And this Shulamite girl, she says that I'm going through a night season in my life where I want my beloved to be with me. I want to feel his presence. I want to exchange kisses with my beloved, but he is nowhere to be found. I love the old hymn that says, entitled, God Leads Us Along. Listen to this. In the chorus it says, some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song. In the night season and all the day long. I want to say that there are night seasons in life where you absolutely, teetotal, cannot trace his hand. There are times in life that are night seasons when we have backslid on the Lord and we have not obeyed like we should, and your day has turned to darkness. Whatever in your life that may be taking place, whether it's something providential God has allowed to come into your life, or it's something that has been self-willed and you have darkness. Either way, we all experience night times. Dark times. Well, in Song of Solomon, in verse number 1, we see the escape. The great escape. I want to mention a second thing. Not only do we see the escape in verse number 1, but in verse number 1 and 2, we see the endeavor. There's an endeavor here. The bride made a decision to look for the bridegroom. Again, verse number 1 and verse 2, let's read it. By night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. I will rise now and go about the city in the streets and in the broadways. I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. I want you to notice in these portions of Scripture, more specifically, verse number 2, that there were two places that she looked. Number 1, she looked in private places. Verse number 1, the Bible says, by night on my bed, I sought him whom my soul loveth. She looked in private places for her love. She looked on her bed for her love. This speaks of a comfort level and a comfort zone that she had. And at one particular time, she would not go beyond her bed looking for her love. The Bible says, by night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. Private places. She endeavored to find her love, but she will only go so far to find her love. She would look on her bed. Are you there? Where are you at? She would look on her bed, and then when she didn't find her love, she would just stay in her bed, discouraged, depressed, and hopeless. There was a strong draw on the inside to be with her love. There was a compelling in her spirit to go and look for her love. But at this particular point, it was just in private places. Sometimes God withdraws himself from you and I. Nothing to do with our salvation, but he will withdraw his presence at times. And depending upon our diligence to go looking for him, depends upon if he'll be found or not. I just read to you what Job did. I go forward. I can't find him on this hand where he doth work. I can't find him. Job went looking for him. May I suggest this morning that we all attempt to leave the beds of our comfort zones when something isn't right in our relationship with Jesus. Now, you can be doing everything right and he goes missing. You can be doing everything right and the Lord just withdraws his presence. All through the Bible, there's times of testing where he does that to see, to show us, for him to show us, and the level of our faithfulness. And I guess it really goes without saying that it really don't take much for us to retreat on the Lord, does it? It really doesn't take much, and we try to find him. We'll go to one church service, but if we don't feel him, we won't come back for a while. We'll go down and pray in our secret place, but if we don't feel him, we won't go back and pray again to develop a consistent prayer life. We'll open God's word, but it's just ink on paper, and we stop, and we're discouraged, and we're defeated. Sometimes you got to go beyond the bed of comfort. By night on my bed, I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him and found him not. But she was diligent. Not only did she look in private places, but she looked in public places. Y'all hang on, it's going to get much better. Notice in verse number 2, she has now left the bedroom. I will rise now and go about the city in the streets, and in the broadways I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. Now she is going beyond restricted barriers she had in her life. It was confined to the bedroom, but now she's going to public places. She thought that she might find Solomon in the city. In the streets. She thought that her bridegroom might be in places of business, talking and doing business with others. She left her comfort zone and she went into the streets that she might find her beloved. This morning, this can give the picture of the local church house where you can find God at, as he is doing business with others, and as he's blessing others and working with others who are in pain and working with others who haven't sensed the Lord at times in their life. You can find him. This gives that kind of picture, that you can find him in the streets. You can find him busy in communicating and working with others. This can picture the local church house where you can find God at as he's doing business with others. I want you to notice that verse number, let's just read it. Verse number 2 again. She goes beyond the bedroom. Verse number 2. I will rise now. This speaks of her not being satisfied. Not being satisfied. Are you satisfied where you're at spiritually this morning? Or will you continue to be held back in the confines of comfort zones when it comes to finding the Lord and having his blessing on your life? She said, I will rise now. Go about the city in the streets and in the broadways. I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. We should not stay at home seeking God only, but come to the church house where he's working. As she had this idea, Solomon was in the streets. He was working with others. He was doing what he does. So the church house is the same way. God as in his house working. And so she left private places and she went to public places. I want to say that you'll find God here this morning. You'll find the Lord in the music we sing. You'll find the Lord in the prayers that we pray, in the messages that we preach, in the lessons that we teach. You will find Jesus here. Many times you won't find him in the confines of your home. Now, I appreciate Facebook and I appreciate all the avenues we have of that, but there is just something about going to the house of God. Let me give another baseball illustration if I can. By the way, Braves won last night. This is the first year that me and my family has been to Truist Park, and we finished out the regular season going, I went 3 times. The girls went twice. There was a game I had to go to, and I took Rhett with me, and we went and watched the Yankees and the Braves play. And I want to tell you something. It's a whole different atmosphere when you're at that game compared to watching it on TV. Now, don't get me wrong. Me and Miss Hales shouted her down last night. I mean, every time, top of the first, screaming and shouting. I said at one point, man, we're going to have to calm down. We got the whole game to go. And it's exciting. But you know, it's something when we were actually there. We seen Freddie Freeman in person. We seen Austin Riley in person. We seen all the players in person. And there was a player I wanted to see on the Yankees, actually. Big old Aaron Judge. Man, he's a monster. But I love watching him play. And don't tell nobody, but I like the Yankees a little bit because of him. So we're there, we're at the game, and one particular time, me and Rhett, being at the Yankees game, sitting near the dugout, not as close as I want to be, he had food in hand, I had food in hand. We were drinking our Cokes and having a good time, and the Braves would score a run. We'll jump up and pump our fists in the air. I think a couple of the pictures actually got loose on Facebook. And just having a great, great time. And every time I leave that place, I'm like, I told Christy one of the last times we went, we have got to go back. We are going to the playoffs. When it comes, if I can use that comparison, when it comes to God's house, where he doth work, there is no comparison. No comparison to watching and worshiping. Thank God for the avenues of media we have, but there's no comparison. The Shulamite woman said, it is not enough. I can't find him here. I've got to leave my home and search for him in the streets. God help us have that kind of mentality where we are pursuing the Lord this morning. The question is, are you pursuing God? Are you pursuing him? Nobody's perfect. I said in the choir earlier, I'm not perfect. I drop the ball more than I like to. And yet I have to confess and ask the Lord to forgive me. Not save me again, but don't want no cloudiness in our relationship. Are you confessed up to date? Are you repented of your sins up to date? If you are not, and you are okay with living a mundane, mediocre life, you need to do what Paul says and examine yourself to see if you're even in the faith. Because I believe those whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and He scourgeth those whom are His. This morning, I love my daughter so much. Where is she? Where she is? She's still trying to understand this. I love her so much that I will not let her run with the wrong crowds. I love my daughter so much. My wife loves our daughter so much. We will not let her run the streets at night. And I want to tell you, those are at least two things that will not change while she's under our roof. We love our daughter so much, we will not allow her, do I have to say it again, access to certain media outlets and social media platforms. Our daughter is not going to be caught up in the TikTok thing. She is not going to be caught up. We are not throwing our daughter to the wolves this morning. You have a child, that's your child, and you love them to the cemetery. Or they love you to the cemetery. Do you have that desire? And listen, if she messes up, she'll go ahead and tell you she's in trouble. Oh yeah, she'll tell you. She'll tell you. Now I can count on one hand the time she has really blew it since I've been her daddy. She's a good learner. She ain't perfect. None of us are perfect. But I tell you what, discipline, when rightly applied, works. You are not to beat your child. You are not to stay so hot and so heavy on your child that they rebel. But you are to apply the rod when necessary. And I want to tell you that if you apply that rod biblically and you apply it when it's necessary, they'll listen to you. And they may not like you now for it, but there's coming a day where she's going to say, thank you, Daddy. Amen. Thank you, Daddy, for disciplining me. Thank you, Daddy, for not letting me run with those crowds. Thank you, Daddy, for showing up at my school when you think I'm in trouble. Thank you, Daddy, for just loving me and caring for me and doing like you do for me. Thank you, Daddy. Can I say this morning, that's how our Daddy is with us. He don't let His blood-bought children run the streets at night. Our Father in heaven, He does not let us stay in sin. He will scourge us. He will discipline us. Or even if He has to, there's the sin unto death. God forbid that God take anybody prematurely home to heaven. If you're here this morning and you're living in sin, give it to Jesus. Give it to the Lord. Don't let Him spank you. Don't let Him discipline you. I guarantee you it hurts Him more than it ever hurt you. Thank God for a daddy that disciplines. On the contrary, I never had that. I never had a daddy that disciplined me. In fact, when I would get in trouble growing up, my daddy said, come over here, son. I won't let mama get to you. My mom was a disciplinarian. My mom's in heaven. Can I say, I have so much love and respect for my mama because she didn't let me get away with it. In fact, after I got saved, going to Floyd Road, I started looking at Brother Berman as a dad. And I started comparing him to my dad. And then one day, I came home. Mom and Dad were there babysitting Lily when she was a baby. And I literally broke his heart. I said, "Dad, I got something to tell you. You are not my hero." I said, "Berman Cape Jr. is my hero." I'm not saying that's right, church. But you see, he did not give correction when he should have. And I think as parents, if we're not careful, we can get to a place of saying, "Well, I don't want to mess our relationship up. I don't want to rob her of anything she might be enjoying. I don't want to rob them from those things. But I'm telling you, I am a witness that when you discipline like you should, your children will thank you for it. Will thank you for it. He that spareth the rod hateth his child. He hates his child, the one that does not do this. And so the Lord will bring correction in our life if we need it. If we need it." So there was an endeavor here. She started in private places, but that wasn't enough. And then she went to public places. And when she went to public places, she started talking and saying, "Hey, have you seen Solomon? Have you seen my bridegroom?" I like what David says in Psalm 73:17. When it comes to going to the house of the Lord, "Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I therein." She went from the bedroom to the city. And this is all pictorial of us finding the Lord when His presence is absent from our life. When He's absent. Let me mention something else. Not only we see the escape, we see the endeavor. But number three, and we'll probably bring it to a close here. We see the encounter. The encounter. There was an encounter, but first of all, it wasn't with the bridegroom. It was with the watchman. Look in verse 3. "The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth?" I want you to notice, and I want to highlight these watchmen here. These watchmen would know the name of Solomon and perhaps know him personally through orders given by Solomon to the watchmen to serve and protect. They were given, these watchmen were given to guide and to give help when someone was in need. I want you to notice in this verse that she was seeking her love. In our world today, there are those who are seeking the Lord, whether they realize it or not. And in verse 3, "The watchmen that go about the city found me." They found her. These men that had a job to do, to serve and protect, to give guidance and help. When it says that they found me, gives the impression that they were serving, they were doing their duty. They were doing their job, and they found her. They fulfilled their duty. They fulfilled their call. They were watchmen. They were to serve under Solomon. Let me say this morning, we all need to seek out the hurting, the hindered, or the helpless, those that are in need. It's not just the pastor's job or the preacher's job, but it is the church's job to seek those out. Again, notice, they found her. They found her. Do you know anyone this morning who's in need of some kind of spiritual help in their life? Do you know someone this morning who is lost and undone without God? It's our duty. From the pastor down to the pews, it's all of our duty to be watchmen. And this woman was in a terrible bind. Her love was gone. He was missing in action. So she went to the city to find him. He was not there, but she was found by these watchmen. I want you to notice something else in verse number 3. It says, "The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth?" Notice this. She asked where he was to the watchman, but the watchman did not reply. You say, "What do you mean, Brother Justin? What does that got to do with anything?" These watchmen, they were on duty, but when she asked them where he was, she said, or they said, they didn't say anything. There was no reply. They didn't have an answer. Can I say that pastors and preachers and teachers and workers in the church do not always have the answer? But we are here for you. We are here for you. These watchmen were serving in the city. They found her. She asked, "Where is my bridegroom?" They didn't have an answer. You're here this morning. You may be watching on Facebook. And you may be in a dark season of your life. You may go out and reach out to help within the church. You may talk to the pastor of the church. And I want to say, if I can be honest, in all honesty, I don't have all the answers. You don't have all the answers. But get this, they were there. The watchmen were there. And you see, she was in a dark season. She thought for sure these watchmen would have the answer, but they didn't. But they were there. They found her. And I just want to get personal for a second as your pastor and let you know that I'm here for you, each and every one of you. But I don't have all the answers. I don't have all the answers. When you lose a loved one and you go to the cemetery and your heart's broken, I don't have all the answers. When you lose a job and you say, "Brother Justin, we have a mortgage to pay," I can try to cheer you up by the promises of God, but I don't have all the answers. And there's times in life where someone may be following from afar and be wrapped up in addiction and say, "Brother Justin, help me." And I would say that I'm here to help, but I don't have all the answers. I can't do it for you. And so, this morning, I just want to say that I'm just like you are. There's times where I go to the cemetery for me and my family. There's times in life where I struggle with things. And don't you know the devil wants to get me in some kind of addictions as well? I wonder how many pastors will be bold enough and honest enough to say that. The pastors are the ones the devil's trying to take out the most. And right here, I just ask of you, would you remember me and my family in prayer? We need your prayers. There's no big open dilemma in our life, but I want to say the reason why I'm able to preach is because I believe some of you are praying for me. And I preach from your prayers. The devil has all kinds of traps for me. I ran into a guy not long ago. Well, yeah, it has been about a year ago. Me and Lily was at the gas station, and a car was driving by really slow. Tinted windows, and a window came down. All I heard was, "Pooh Bear." If you didn't know, that was supposed to be funny. That was one of many old street names they gave me. Believe that? Pooh Bear. My grandpa gave me the nickname Boots. Never left. All them old guys know me by that name. We ain't gonna go to more. No more names. He rolled down the window and said, Pooh Bear. I said, oh my Lord, Lily, I know who that is. That is a guy I used to run these streets with. I'm talking about run the streets. Leave my grandma's house and don't come back till the next morning when the sun's coming up. Run the streets. So I talked with him. It was getting close to Christmas time. He needed some help. So we helped him out. But after that, he never stopped calling me. In fact, he started, when I told him I didn't have anything else to help him with, Brother Ceylon, he started cussing me. He started telling me what he thought of me. He started telling me and making fun of what I do. He said, one time he called, left a message, said, well, I guess you ain't going to answer your phone. I guess you're church preaching. Can I tell you what I wanted to do? I wanted to show up at his house and show him a preacher with a punch. In Jesus' name, of course. You know what I'm saying? The devil traps, church, traps. So what I did, I just stopped answering the phone. And eventually, after about 6 months, he quit calling. Let me bring this to a close. Y'all want to come on? And so she, the Shulamite woman, she went into the streets. The watchman found her, but they didn't have an answer. And the Lord willing, we're gonna stop right there. We may pick up tonight. We may go a different way. Talk about the embrace she found and the exhortation she gave. She finally found him. And she brought him home. And she never, ever wanted him to leave again. She had things in place for this not to happen. This morning, the pursuit of God. We love you, Lord. We thank you. We praise you for who you are, for the things that you do. Lord, I pray that you would give time during the invitation if anybody needs to come. And Lord, I hope all that was understandable. There's a whole lot to cover, a lot to get right. Don't want to make any errors. But I pray that you'll take your word and apply it to the heart that needs it the most. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. If you need to come pray, you can come.
Just as I am without one, but my blood was shed for me, and that thou be.
Need to come, you come on down. Those watching on Facebook, it's the invitation hour.
Just as I am and waiting to realize,
is there a desire to seek him? I hope there is. Still singing while we have some praying.
Just as I am, thou wilt receive.
we appreciate you being here this morning, and I hope something was said. I hope you got a blessing by being here, and no choir practice today, but we'll have church, obviously, at 5 o'clock this evening, so meet with us here, and we will be ready to go in whatever route we need to go in as far as the message is concerned for tonight. So, looks like Brother Ceylon has something he wants to mention.
I say it's my honor to be able to do this. October is Pastor Appreciation Month. Specifically, today is Pastor Appreciation Day. I encourage you sometime this month to, maybe you shouldn't hug his neck, but fist bump him or shake hands with him or something. Pat him on the back or do something. We're blessed to have a pastor that loves us, cares about us. I talked to him quite a bit on the phone. I've got to know this man. I love him. I appreciate his heart. I've been in this church a long time. Probably longer than most of you are old. And we've always been blessed by pastors that loved us. And he's another one of those. And I'm grateful to God for a pastor like him. And I just want to give him a little something, for a little token of our appreciation. I have one for Brother Brian, too, but I don't think he's here. I guess I get to keep it. No, I'm kidding. Justin, my honor to give you this.
Appreciate that, church. Thank you, and totally shocked by that. But again, it is an honor and joy. I mean that. God could have picked someone else. I'm thrilled every day. I really am always wanting to get better at it and what I'm doing each and every day. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for having me to be your pastor. Anybody else before we close? All right. Be dismissed in a word of prayer, and everyone just have a wonderful afternoon. Meet us back here at 5 o'clock. Brother Allen, if you want to close us out.
Father, we thank you and praise you for the opportunity we've had to be in your house today. Lord, what a blessing it has been. Thank you, Lord, for the message. Thank you, Lord, for the messenger, for our pastor. Lord, we pray that you just, Lord, we would ask that you just build a hedge around him and his family. Keep them safe, close to you, Lord. Lord, thank you for what they mean to us. Lord, again, thank you for the opportunity we've had to be in your house today. Lord, we pray that you've accepted the worship and the praise that we brought here today. Lord, I feel so, like I've fallen so short. But Lord, I love you. I praise you. And I thank you. Lord, thank you for your blessings upon our church. Lord, I pray that you be with those who are going through a difficult time. Touch them, bless them, as only you can do. Bring us back home.